Back with Fisherman Forecast. I'm Rick Moore, along with Gloucester football coach Tony Zerilli on MSONewsSports.com. Coach, man, what a game. What a finish. Oh, my goodness gracious, just the way you drew it up, huh?
Exactly, the way we draw it up. Now, it was a hard-fought battle. I think we were pretty evenly matched. We both had good defensive stands. We both could move the football at times. And it comes down to one play here, one play there, and, you know, I thought we played very well offensively. We just couldn't convert on a couple of those, you know, those red zone opportunities. And I thought it could have been a little bit different game if we did. And I thought our defense played well. You know, to only let up 7 points against a Beverly team, it's great. Great defensive battles. It was a good game. Good to be a part of.
Oh, it was fun to watch as a fan, I will tell you. And now, recapping very quickly here, third quarter, you got a 13-0 lead. Beverly scores. At the end of the third, they come right back with that interception. Let's clarify who the kid was who did the interception, because it was a spectacular defensive play.
Yeah, I think it was Garrity, who's one of their captains. Mm-hmm. Previously, he had been a tight end, number 80, I believe, and I think they moved him down to a guard position because of injuries. You'll have to ask you know, Dan over there at Beverly to see exactly, but he's still playing his old defensive end position, and he's got the hands of a tight end, so you know, he saw that ball in the air, and he jumped and grabbed it, and you know, he was athletic enough to get to the end zone, so it was a great play by him.
It was a fast pass. That was like Mr. Miyagi pulling the fly out of the air there, wasn't it? Great move.
I watched it. Hit him right in the chest, pinned it to his body with his elbow, and he was off to the races. You know, it was a great play.
So what was it like, Tony? I mean, 29 seconds, the team scores twice, and then I believe Madden got hurt on the extra point try on that one, and then they got 2 points. They take a 15-13 point lead, but you have a whole quarter to go. But it had to be a bit of a cold water in the face type moment for the kids.
You know, it wasn't. It was a bad luck play, to be honest with you. And, you know, we're throwing a little pop pass, and the kid picks it off and takes it in for a score. But I felt like we moved the ball pretty well offensively. I thought we were playing good, solid, sound defense. You know, even the touchdown they scored was a play that, you know, the Madden kid made a great play. He cut back against the grain, broke a couple tackles, and, you know, took it 30 or 40 yards. But other than that, you know, we had been playing really good defense. And I thought, you know, with Christian Sanfilippo and Edwards and Enos and the way they were running the football on offense, I felt like we had plenty of time to move down the field and score a touchdown to win the game.
Sanfilippo and Edward, especially in that last drive, 70 seconds left to go and you got 62 yards to go, running the ball, Tony, with no timeouts left, and they got the job done.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of credit to that goes to Mike Cody, who was the quarterback there and really took charge of that offense. You know, he knew the situation. He knew what had to be done. He knew that on first downs the clock would stop and that he'd have to get the kids to the line. He knew that, you know, when the opportunity was to clock the ball and spike the ball. In fact, you know, the first play out there, I called the play, and he goes, "Coach, if we don't get the first down, we're clocking it, right?" And I said, "Yep, Mike, that's right. Get to the ball, clock it. Make sure every kid on the team knows that." You know, but even so, there's plays that those kids had to make. We were in ISO on third down, and if we didn't get that, we couldn't clock it on fourth. So the kids knew that was a play that we had to get, and Edwards did a great job getting it. And you'll notice on that play, if you watch the film, Mike hands him the football and runs right behind him. So if there was a question on whether he was going to get pushed over that line, Mike was going to push him over that line.
Okay.
And that's not typical. We don't typically do that on ISO. But, you know, we're a running football team. And when it comes down to a situation like that, we feel like we can take advantage of a quick trap or an ISO. We're going to do that. And we felt like they were playing us real soft. And when teams play us real soft, it's really hard to complete those passes down the field. So we did want to take a few shots, but we also knew that we could fall back on, you know, the old Paul Ingram standard of a 124-yard trap, which we did a few times.
Yeah, got it. Well, okay, so now we're down to 8 seconds left. You're at the 7-yard line, and I'm asking Coach Ingram, do you run the ball now? Do you go with the best play that you have all year long? And Coach was saying, nah, you probably throw it once, and then you go with your run play. Did you have two plays called, Tony, because That play that Militello hauled in the ball, I mean, that was worked to perfection. It was a classic play. But what if it hadn't?
So I had Coach Anderson yelling in my ear, "Do not run the football. We have no timeouts left. Do not run the football." So we weren't going to run the football. What we were going to do was throw the football. And I told Mike during that period when he came over the sideline, I said, "We're going to throw it high and over the middle to Militello. He's either going to jump and catch it, or it's going to go out the back of the end zone. And on the next play, we're going to have the field goal team ready." So my special teams coach, Coach Ladoff, had already organized the extra point team. They were waiting on the sideline. If that was an incomplete pass, we were going to send in the field goal team and try to win it by one.
Okay. We gave the start of the game to Militello just because he caught the ball, but you had so many guys. And you know, Tony, you bring up special teams. What an improvement for your special teams over the first time you met Beverly.
Yeah, I felt like the first time it was field position all the way. You know, we were always trapped inside the 20, and they always had the ball at the 50. And I felt like we kind of flipped the script there a little bit. I mean, we work on special teams every day. It's something, you know, we try to really improve on as the year goes on. And, you know, I thought Militello really kicked the ball well. I thought, you know, he hit that first extra point. And I feel like we're improving in that situation, in those situations. We did stud up a little bit because it is the playoffs. So, you know, some of our seniors that don't really play special teams were put on the special teams this week. And you'll see that again in Marblehead.
Mm-hmm. And your punting team went well, too.
Yeah, Coach Ingram's really been working with Militello over the last couple of weeks, and I think he's really doing a lot better in that area. And it's great. We have smart kids on this team. That last kickoff of the game, if you watch that on film, we have about six kids who sprint down the field to tackle the ball carrier, and then you have Militello, Goss, Mondello, Tom Donahue, some of the older kids who actually all played safety, and you watch them on film, and they shadow the ball at about the 40-yard line. So if the kid did break one, mm-hmm. or pitch went to an open guy and he came down the field, he still had to get back by that second wall. It didn't come to that, but they were there, and they were ready to be prepared for that.
Back to defense for a second. Closing speed for your secondary. It looks like players are open, the ball's in the air, and all of a sudden your defensive backs are there.
Yeah, you know, our defensive secondary has been playing well. You know, one big thing about the Beverly game was they really came up to play and make plays on the running game. We gave one of the game balls to Latassa, who's our strong side safety, for lack of a better word. But he was responsible for coming up and pinning the sweep back into the rest of the players. And I'll tell you, he made a ton of tackles. But not only that, he forced that sweep back into our linebackers and our defensive line all night long.
Finally, the rivalry between Gloucester and Beverly, I think, is probably as big, if not bigger, than the Thanksgiving Day rivalry, at least from a Gloucester standpoint. I was hearing also from Beverly they how much they've respect Gloucester over the years and look forward to the game. So it was great to see. We saw this week on social media from one of the Beverly coaches that both Kevin Morency and Matt Madden are both okay, because they both had to leave the game with injuries, and you don't want a senior ending his season before it's over on an injury.
No, and you know, I know a lot of, we know a lot of those guys over there at Beverly. You know, I know Dan and a lot of those other coaches, and we're pretty friendly with them. So anytime you see a senior go down like that, in a big game like that, you want to make sure he's over all right. So, you know, I reached out to Ben Goodhue, who was one of the assistant coaches, immediately after the game, and tried to have him, you know, keep me up to date on what was going on with Matt. And I mean, that kid's a hell of a football player. He runs hard, he plays hard, and to see him go down in a play like that, you know, I don't think there was any malicious intent. I watched the film over and over and over again, and our guys are just trying to make a play to block that kick, and they actually get pushed into the kicker as he's on his follow-through, and it's just one of those hard football plays that, you know, you wish doesn't happen, but it does. You know, it's a physical sport. Kids get injured. So to hear that he's okay and he's going to basically be able to finish his season, I think that's great.
Okay, we turn our attention to this week's game and second game of the playoffs. You guys resume the rivalry with Marblehead. They're a passing team, so what can you tell us about what this game's going to look like?
Yeah, it's going to be a completely different kind of mindset than Beverly. You know, Marblehead is—they're fun. They're good. Excellent spread team, but they're 50-50. They'll run the ball just as much as they throw the ball. So on defense, we have to be good in both aspects. We need to be able to stop the run with our front seven and defend the pass on the back end. Their QB is probably one of the best QBs right now playing football at the high school level in the state, Keogh, and he's a great runner and he's a great thrower and he finds the open guy. He knows how to read coverages. So he'll be a challenge. He's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a challenging week. Marblehead's a very good team.
Okay, a lot of fans going down there. It's going to be a great, great game and a lot of fun. Tony, anything else that you want to mention? I know just very quickly, you know, a lot of the teams continue in the Northeast Conference. Some big games coming up. Danvers at Tewksbury. Peabody playing Everett at home. That should be an interesting game as well.
Yes or no?
What a strange story that Peabody-Everett game is, mm-hmm. huh? I mean, Everett goes out and upsets St. John's Prep, and then obviously there's that tragedy that happens with their star player. Crazy.
High school football.
Danvers and Tewksbury should be a great game. going to go down there regardless of what happens Friday night and watch that game. I think it's going to be a tremendous battle between two great teams. I mean, I think it's great that in our division, you know, we have three NEC teams left, you know, with the addition of Tewksbury. You got Danvers, Marblehead, and us. I think it's great that Peabody's still in play. It just shows you how strong the Northeast Conference is.
All right, good luck, Tony. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick.
Gloucester football coach Tony Cirilli with MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore.